Parak Gimel, Mishnah, Hey. Esrog HaGazel VaHayavish Pasol, an esrog that was stolen, or if it's dried up, it's pasol, it's invalid. And again, the same reason like we explained by the lulav, it's got to be yours. So by the esrog, if you stole it, it's not yours. That's one reason. And even if the one that you stole it from gives up hope and says you could keep it, you still don't fulfill the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's a mitzvah that came through a sin of stealing, and therefore you do not fulfill the mitzvah of the esrog. Now again, in terms of the esrog being yours, that's only for the first day, like we mentioned yesterday. But any other day of the chag, if it's not yours, but it didn't come to you through sin, meaning you borrowed it, the fact that it's not yours is not going to, you know, make it or break it, like on the first day. The first day, it has to be yours regardless. But on all other days, if you borrowed it, so there's no sin, even though it's not yours, it would be okay, because the special mitzvah that has to be yours is only the first day. Yavesh, a dry esrog, is invalid because it's not beautiful. And it's got to be hadar, it's got to be beautiful. If you look at the image, kuf, chaf, beis, the first image, you see that what a dried up esrog looks like. Shel Hashera, an esrog that comes from an Hashera tree that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, like we learned earlier. Shel Ir HaHidach, esrog from a city that people are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Pasul, the esrog is invalid because these things have to be burnt, the tree and the city. And therefore, the esrog technically has to be burnt also, so it's as if the esrog has no measurement, and therefore it's invalid. Shel Arla, if the esrog was taken from an Arla tree. An Arla tree is a tree that grows in Yerushalayim, a fruit tree. At the first 3 years, you don't have any benefit at all from it. So if you go ahead and take an esrog within the first 3 years from a brand new tree, which is called Arla, possible the esrog is invalid, the Gemara explains, because the Torah says it's got to be yours. It's got to be befitting to be for you. It's got to be an edible fruit, even though you're not eating it, but it's got to be edible. And the fruit of the Arla tree are prohibited to be eaten, and they're prohibited to have any pleasure from it. So therefore, you can't use an esrog that's not technically edible for your mitzvah. Shel Truma Tameya, if the esrog came from Truma Tameya, from Truma that was defiled, became Tamei, pasul, the esrog is invalid, again, because there's no way to technically eat it had you want to eat it, and therefore that will invalidate the esrog, just like we learned by the Arla case. And furthermore, since Truma Tameya has to be burnt, we look at it as if this esrog has no measurement, similar to the case of the Avodah Zarah tree. Okay. But what about Shel Truma Tahora? If the esrog came from Truma Tahora, so then Lo Yitlo, you shouldn't take it. And the Gemara explains because the esrog was taken together with the lulav. And the lulav, they would soak it in water to keep it fresh. And if you take the esrog along with the lulav and the esrog gets wet, then the moment the esrog is wet, it becomes machshir l'kabatoma, meaning it becomes susceptible to become tummy. If once it's wet, it's such as a dead object, then it'll become tummy. And then if it becomes tummy, you're making truma tummy. You can't make truma tummy. So even if it's truma tahora, we don't use an esrog. Bavim natal, if you took the esrog of truma tahora, pure truma, kosher, the esrog will be kosher nonetheless after the fact, because at the end of the day, it is edible for a kohen to eat this esrog of truma, because it's tar, it's pure, and therefore you would fulfill your mitzvah if you did it. You shouldn't, but if you did, you get the mitzvah. Shel Damai, if the esrog was from Damai, Damai is Da Mai. What is this? Meaning, what is this? It's fruit, any kind of fruit that was purchased from an Am Ha'aretz, one who's not, you know, knowledgeable in the halachas of the land, in the laws of the land. So we're concerned that this person never took off Meiser the right way, the tith the right way. And if it's, therefore, there's a doubt. It's Suffolk Musarim, Suffolk Enim Musarim. It's a doubt whether it was tith properly or not tith properly. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat it. Because if it wasn't tith, you can't eat it, right? You can't eat it until you take off the Meiser, the tith. So if you go ahead and use this esrog for the mitzvah, so Beshame post, the Beshame say it's invalid because it's not edible, right? We just said it's not edible, it's the mai, and therefore you don't get the mitzvah. Ubeisil machshir, Beisil say it's kosher. Why? Because technically poor people, aniyim, poor people, we let them eat the mai. Because since it's only a suffolk, a doubt, whether the owner who was unknowledgeable of the lachas of Meister gave or not. So but poor people will be lenient and say they could eat these esrogim, and therefore technically Beis Hillel would say if you used it on Sukkot, it's okay, because hey, it is edible. Poor people can eat it. Whereas Beis Shammai say that no, initially this thing is invalidated because normally you're not eating the mai, and therefore the esrog is not considered edible, and therefore it would be not kosher to use on chag for the mitzvah. And then shel ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. What about an esrog that came from ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, meaning from fruit they took off ma'aser sheni, which the mitzvah is you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So again, lo yitol, don't take this kind of esrog to fulfill your mitzvah on Sukkos. Same reason like by Truma Tahora, because since it's got Kedusha on it, if it comes in contact with water, it'll make it susceptible to become Tame if it touches a dead, object afterwards, after it's wet. And if once it's wet, it can become Tame. We don't want to make Kodesh Tame. So therefore, we don't want you using it either. But Vimnatal, again, if you took it, after the fact, Kashar, you still fulfill your mitzvah, because at the end of the day, it's edible. Right, Ma'aser Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim, and therefore, after the fact, you will fulfill your mitzvah. They bring that over here, but if the Ma'aser Sheni is outside Yerushalayim, since you can't eat it without redeeming it, meaning if you have Ma'aser Sheni that is outside Yerushalayim, the mitzvah is you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. If you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, you redeem it onto coins, and the coins you spend in Yerushalayim and eat whatever you buy over there in Yerushalayim. So over here, he's saying that if you're outside Yerushalayim, since you're not allowed to eat it without redeeming it, so then even after the fact, even b'dieved, if you took it, you would not fulfill your mitzvah of esrog on Sukkos. And that wraps up Mishnah Hey. Mishnah Vav, also chazazis. If the esrog grew an azazis is like warts. If you look at the image Kuf Chaf Gimel, the second image, you see these warts on the esrog. So if it's al ruba, if it's on most of the esrog from one side, that, or another case. So, and that's the picture over here. Kuf Chaf Gimel, the second image, you see there's warts on the majority of one side of the esrog. Or, nitla pitmaso, if the pitum, the tip of the esrog, was snapped off, image Kuf Chaf Vav, in the email over here, the top of the esrog was snapped off. Or niklaf, if a peel of the esrog was removed, if you look at image Kuf Chaf Tes, you see that the esrog is all peeled off, and you see like the lighter layer, the inner layer. So if it's niklaf, or if it's niklaf, so if it was niklaf, if the peel was removed, or nistak, if it was cracked, they explain there's a long crack down the esrog from the two sides of it. So that's going to be image kuf lamed beis. You see there's a long crack down the length of the esrog. So even if it's just a crack on one side of it, right? So the halacha is, basically, there's a crack, even if it's the majority of the esrog, not the whole entire esrog. Or, another case, nikav v'chosar kol shehu. If you look at image kuflam adalet, if there's a nikav, a hole in the esrog, and that's just a hole, but now this part of the esrog is missing. In any of these cases that we mentioned, puzzle, the esrog is going to be invalid. Now, they do bring down, in the case of niklaf, where it's peeled, so they say that if it was peeled, sheyish hevdil ben esrog, there's a difference if the whole thing was peeled or if part of it was peeled. Rashi explains if part of it was peeled, then it looks spotted. And once it looks spotted, it's invalid, it's pasul. But if the whole thing was peeled, believe it or not, it'll actually be kosher because you're just seeing the layer underneath it. It's still beautiful. And therefore, if the whole esrog was peeled, then it actually would be kosher. Interesting. Okay. What about also chazazis al mi'utai? If this wart only grew on a minority part of the esrog, like in one little spot, if you look at image kuf lamed hey, the wart is on the bottom left corner. It's just one wart, right? Or nital uktsai, or if the ukits was ripped off of the esrog. If you look at image kuf lamed vav, ukitz is the bottom stem of the esrog, so it was removed. Okay, nikav v'lochisa kol shehu, or if there's a hole pierced through the esrog, but there's no pieces of the esrog missing. If you look at image kuf lamed zayin, there's a hole there. There's something stuck into it, but there's nothing missing. So these cases, it all could be kosher. The esrog is kosher. But if the case of the wart, if it grew on the esrog, b'shnayim, in two places, or even three places, right? We said one's fine, one place is fine, but if it's in two or three places, even though it's only minority of the Esrog would be invalid. They're pointing out over here. And not only that, but if the wart grew on the Al-Chot Moshe Esrog, on like the top of the Esrog, B'chalko Ha'elyon Mecholia, like the top, the very, very top of the Esrog, there, even a tiny wart, even one wart, since it's the top of the Esrog, it would make it invalid. Esrog HaKushi, a black Esrog, doesn't literally mean black, but a very, very blackish color, green, okay, is possible as invalid. And they explain over here that it's not going to be invalid, except in places where they don't use black Esrog, meaning if it's an Eretz Yisrael, right, where they don't use a black Esrog, again, black means a very, very dark, dark green, so then, yeah, it'll be invalid over there. But in places where they grow these type of esrogim and they always come like in a blackish green, then it's actually kosher if that's where you reside. And lastly, vayor kikarti, if the esrog is green like a leek, has no yellow tinge to it, just totally, totally green, like grass, and meir machshir b'yuda posel, meir says it's kosher, b'yuda says it's pasul, it's invalid, and the Gemara explains the reason for b'yuda, because it's not beautiful, or we don't consider it a full fruit because it's not really ripe all the way. So that's the why Rabbi Yehuda would say it's invalid, whereas Ramirez doesn't bother him, and he says it's kosher, and we're stringently paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that wraps up Mishnah Vav.